Begin at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Maseches Bava Basra. We're going to talk about combining in a scroll Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. The Tanaic source begins at the bottom and continues to the second line from the top. As you know, in the Shas Ozer edition, all Tanaic sources are put in frames. Tanu Rabbanan, Haroitze Ledabek Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, Ke'echod, Medabek. One has an option of combining in one scroll all of these works. V'oise b'roishoi k'dei logul omud, u'besoifoi k'dei logul hekev. We're going to be looking at diagrams 215 and 216. The scroll is attached to a pole known as an Eitz Chaim. According to this version of the Gemara, the pole attached to the beginning is done with leaving a blank portion of parchment sufficient to surround the circumference of the pole, and at the end of the scroll, a sufficient amount of parchment is left blank so as to surround the circumference of the entire scroll. Continuing, umesayim milamata, umaschil milamala. And when he finishes a particular work, he finishes it at the bottom. He starts the next work at the top. We have a bracket here, and in the Shas Ozer edition, that often instructs us to skip, because what's contained within is of a difficult linguistic quality. And that's what happens here. She'im bo lachtoch chotech. Notice we skipped the first line because it has some difficulty in it. And the idea of finishing one sefer at the end and starting the next one at the top of the next column is done so that if one wants to cut it and separate the volumes, he'll be able to do a smooth cutting job. Let's go over this section reading the contents of the brackets. V'im bo lachtoch chotech. And if he comes to separate the volumes by cutting this long scroll between the works, he can do so. Gemara asks, "My Omar, what is being said?" To appreciate the dynamics of the Gemara, one must look at the Rashi. At the top, it says, "V'im bo lachto chotech, my Omar." Rashi explains, "My lememra, what do you have to tell me this for? Hakol moidim di'im kol echod v'echod b'fnei atzmo tfei odif." Every opinion agrees that if every book, every work is contained in a separate scroll, that's better. So obviously, if one comes to cut, he cuts. So we continue reading the Gemara, top line. Hochi ko'omar, she'im bo lachto chotech. And we will also look at Rashi again. Hochi ko'omar, umaschil milamalo, velo yania cholok. When he starts the new work, he starts at the top line and doesn't leave anything blank. She'im shaharei im bo lachto chotech v'nimtzo zeh roish hakrach. So that if he were to come to cut the works, to separate the works, you'll have the new work beginning at the top of the column. Uginai hu lo liyoiz dav zeh mishunam echavero achinam. It would otherwise be negative, be unpleasant, if you had one column that was not similar to the rest. So what we saw in the source is an explanation of why it's important that if you finish one work at the end of a column, the next work begins dafka at the top of the next column. The Gemara that we just read raises a bit of a difficulty in light of Gemara Gemara that we had learned a bit earlier, in a previous shiur. This source talks about cutting a scroll. We saw in yesterday's Gemara, on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, a discussion concerning cutting scrolls, and we saw that if people want to divide two scrolls between them, so then they have an option to do so, but to cut one scroll, that's not allowed. The Tosfos addresses this problem, and let us take a look at that at the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. She'im bol achto choteich, teimo l'rashbo. Ha omar li'el. We said before, b'shtei krichois choken. U'pirish ha-kuntris, kegon teiro be'karach echod, u'nevi'im be'karach echod, mashma. From that expression that the people can divide two scrolls, that is, for example, one has a scroll of Torah, someone else has they jointly hold a scroll of Torah and a scroll of Nevi'im, they can divide them between them. Mashma, avol Torah u'Nevi'im bekrach echad. You can deduce from that, or infer from that, that if Torah and Nevi'im were in one scroll, ein cholkin afilu shneim rotzim. In fact, what's interesting about this Tosis is that he says it as if it's an inference from something that Rashi had mentioned, when in fact it appears that that's what the Gemara itself is saying in the words of Shmuel on the previous Amud. So what have we seen? That if it's one scroll, you can't cut it, even if both partners, both the joint holders, agree to do so. V'im kein, if that be so, hechi omar hocha de choteich, how can the Gemara say over here that one cuts? Tosfos provides a very surprising answer. V'yesh lomar, de lo havi bizoyon ha-sefer. It's not considered reprehensible, disparaging to the scroll, to the sefer, elo kishet choteich machmas chaluka. That the cutting is done because of some kind of partnership agreement, called maybe a financial matter. I'm cutting the scroll because of finances. That's considered disparaging. But if you're cutting the scroll for some loftier purpose, that would be all right. Let's continue in the Gemara. Viramini, more raises a stira. Tchilas sefer visoifoi kedei logul. Rashi explains that kedei logul that's stated here must be a standard amount of circumference, of blank space left in the parchment to surround whatever we're talking about, because the source says the beginning and the end. The same standard applied to the beginning and the end, and that's our question, that's our problem. The Gemara elaborates. As you can see on the side, there's a three-line question marking, a long kushia. The Gemara explains, kedei logul mai, the source, and that's a quote from the source, the expression kedei logul, that's why it appears in quotation marks, kedei, to surround what, e kedei logul omud, if you're talking about a blank section of parchment in order to surround the Eitz Chaim, the pole, kashya hekif. Well, that runs against what the previous source said, that there's a amount left to surround the entire circumference. So that in this source, as we have just read the question, it said kedei logul, both beginning and end. And if that kedei logul is to surround an amount to surround the pole, so then what you're really telling me is that the end of the sefer, leave an amount to surround a pole. But according to the first source, when you're at the end, it must be enough to surround the entire circumference of the scroll. E kedei logul hekif. If the kedei logul of this second source is an amount to surround, amount of blank parchment to surround the entire scroll, well, kashya omud, then you're telling me that you have to leave a large amount, when the first source gave an option that at the beginning of the sefer, it's sufficient to leave enough to surround the pole. To answer this, Gemara provides two approaches. Number one, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, litzdodin katani. Litzdodin means to split into two sides. In other words, the expression kedei lo gul is to be understood that when dealing with the tchilas ha-sefer, it would in fact be the smaller amount, the amount to surround the pole, and when you're dealing with the end of the sefer, the amount to surround the entire scroll, so that the two sources are in sync with one another. Number two, Rav Ashi Yomar, ki tanyo hahi, the source that we just read, the second source that indicated a standard of kedei lo gul for both beginning and end, the Sefer Torah, that's talking about a Torah scroll as opposed to a scroll of prophets or of ksuvim. The nature of a Torah scroll is familiar to many of us. It has two poles and is rolled toward the middle, if you will. Kedesanya, the source, four-line Tanaic source, kol hasforim niglolim mitchilosim lesofon. Scrolls in general are rolled from the beginning to the end. The Sefer Torah niglal le'emtzi oso. The Sefer Torah, on the other hand, is rolled toward the middle. The oisala amud elech v'elech, and we provide for the Sefer Torah two poles, one at Bracious and the other one at the end of Dvorim. Omer belos Eliezer Reb Soda kachol yukais veisform shirushlaim oisin lisifrehem, and that's in fact how the scribes of Yerushalayim used to prepare their Sifrei Torah. The next topic the Gemara will deal with is noted on the side, the Nosei, Shi'uron shel Oirech vehekiv shel Sefer Torah, the dimensions for the length and the circumference of a Sefer Torah. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Oisin Sefer Torah, lo Orko Yoyser al Hekefo, velo Hekefo Yoyser al Orko. In preparing a Sefer Torah, the length shall not exceed the hekef, the circumference, nor the circumference. That means if you were to take a string and wrap it around the circumference, the length of that string should not exceed the length, the height of the Sefer Torah. Now, in order to make such a calculation, one has to factor in how large are you writing or how small are you writing. That obviously is going to influence the amount of parchment that you're using, and hence influence the eventual circumference. In other words, you can order pre-designed or pre-measured height, but how much parchment you end up using, so that depends on the size of the writing that takes place therein. So the source so far legislated that you must arrange it such that the height of the Sefer Torah and the eventual circumference match. Shalu es Rebbe, Shiur Sefer Torah Bekama, what is the height of a Sefer Torah? We'll use the term height and length interchangeably because we're not talking about the circumference right at this moment, according to Rashi. So what should the height of the Sefer Torah be? Omar Lohen, Bigvil, Shisha Gvil is, we'll call it the parchment that is close to its original state. Parchment is as an animal is skinned, the skin can be split into two levels. There's an inner layer, two layers would be the more accurate way of putting it. Skin can be cut or it can be split into two layers. So gvil is when the two layers are still together. Beklaf bekamo. So when we said gvil, it should be shisha, means six tfachim of height. The klaf is in effect the skin after it's been peeled apart, and the klaf being one of those two layers, it's in fact the upper layer. How much is the height of the Sefer Torah if you're going to prepare it with klaf? Eini yodea, he answers. As far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned, we're going to be confronting a very elaborate structure, and with the aid of the Shas Ozer edition, the Gemaras that have been prepared with the pre-marked forms and shapes put in that many of you are viewing on your screens, and some may have already ordered their Gemara Shas Ozer from our site. We will see a lot of use of brackets in the Gemara. We have a source that just legislated a dimension. If you're preparing the Sefer Torah with Gvil, it's going to be 6 tfachim in height. There's a section that you see brackets running several lines, and the notation on the left-hand side, the dash dot vertical notation line, indicates the length of the brackets. To appreciate what they're going to do, we'll take a look at the side. There's an asterisk, and it says there, "Acharei hasograyim muva kushya al hashiurim shenemru lefnechein." After the sograyim, after these brackets, the Gemara will then introduce a kasha, a question, on the shiur that was just stated. "Betoich hasograyim muva maisim shel amoyroyim shekosvu sifrei Torah." Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will bring stories concerning Amoroyim that wrote Sifrei Torah. So that when focusing on the Gemara structure, one has to see what's the major agenda, the main agenda at hand. And that's going to be a kasha on the shiur that was just given. And that's found after the brackets, it says Meisvei. And now you'll notice at that point in the Gemara a very, very, very long question marking. How long is this? It takes you to Yud Dalet Amud Beis. How far down? But you see there 5 lines down. At that point, the Gemara will have concluded the question material. I use the term question material because a lot of the information that's brought in the Gemara from the beginning till the end is not directly relevant to the heart of the question. Before we get into the text, I'll take the liberty of trying to focus on the point of the question. The long source that accompanies the long question contains in it a description of the Oron HaKodesh, the holy ark that contained the Aseres HaDibros. There's a Machlokas Tanoim that's featured in there. We're going to be interested primarily in the Tanakama. As you go down the page, you'll notice another set of brackets beginning with Rabbi Yehuda, about a quarter of the way up from the bottom of the page. That whole section brings a shita that's not relevant to the kasha that we're focusing on. So that it can be said that as far as our kasha, we said the height of a Sefer Torah is going to be 6 tfochim. That means the circumference of the Sefer Torah is going to be 6 tfochim. If the circumference of the Torah is 6 tfochim, you also know the diameter of the Sefer Torah because there's an equation. The equation states that for every 1 unit of diameter, there are 3 units of circumference. So if there are 3 units of circumference, in this case, if there are 6 tfachim of circumference, we'll call that 6 units, 6 tfachim, so the diameter of the Sefer Torah is going to be 2 tfachim. There's a 1-to-3 ratio. That means the thickness of the Sefer has 2 tfachim. Once again, 6 tfachim of height, for our purposes, once you say the 6 tfachim of height equals the circumference, because that's what we saw in the source, circumference equals height, that also means that the thickness, the diameter of this Torah scroll is going to be 2 tfachim. The width, then, we can say, because the diameter and the width are the same thing for our purposes, the width or the thickness of the Sefer Torah is going to be 2 tfachim. In the source, after Rabbi Meir gets finished describing the Oron HaKodesh, we're going to see dimensions given and a space that's left in the Oron HaKodesh besides the Luchos HaBris that were in there. There was also a Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu had written placed inside the Oron, according to Rabbi Meir. And after the dimensions are presented, we're going to find that there might not have been enough space for the Sefer Torah. That's going to be the heart of the question. And that having been said, by way of general introduction, let us proceed in the Gemara, reading straight through. We start at the beginning of the bracketed section with Rav Huna. And as we said, before we get to the Gemara's presentation of the question, a couple stories of rabbis writing Sifrei Torah. Rav Huna kosav shiv'in Sifrei de'oraisa, velo isrami lei. He prepared 70 Torah scrolls in his lifetime, and it never worked out. Lo isrami lei, never came out that the orko kehekefo, that the height of his Sefer Torah matched the circumference. As we said a moment, as we said earlier, it depends on your calibrating the size of your writing in order to facilitate that result of height being equal to circumference. He was never successful. Elohad, except for one time. Rav Achor bar Yankiv kosav chad amashche de igli. He, Rav Acha, produced a Sefer Torah, he wrote a Sefer Torah, one Sefer Torah, on the skin, the mashri, the skin of calf, of calves, calf skin, the Isramile, and it worked out. It's quite something. Like the first time he did it, and it worked out. This raised a lot of eyebrows in amazement. Yahav ube rabonan arinayhu v'noch navshe. The scholars looked at him in absolute amazement, and it may be a function of ayin hara, and he died. V'noch nafshei. So that if you're ever wondering about how Rav Acha bar Yankov eventually passed away, it seems from this Gemara as a result of the eye of the Rabbanan being cast upon him in utter amazement. Omrule Rabbanan le Rav Hamnuna. We have the Gemara that we're about to go through has a little aleph mentioned at the beginning of this sentence. Following the aleph, you'll find a beis. The section that is noted by the beis, about three lines from here, is a section concerning numbers of something, but not related at all to Sifrei Torah. And as a result of that distinction, we've sub-bracketed that section and noted that on the side. But first we'll go through the Aleph. Amru lei Rabbona the Rav Hamnuna. They informed Rav Huna the following. Kosav Rebbe Ami Arba Mea Sifrei Torah. Rebbe Ami wrote 400 Sifrei Torah. Amar Lehu, they responded. He responded to them and said, so Rav Hamnuna responded to the Rabbonon and said that what you just told us about Rebbe Ami is like too amazing to absorb. Rather, what might have been is Dilma Teiro Tziva Lonu Moshe Kosav. Maybe he wrote that posuk. He wrote that 400 times. Let's take a look at the Tosfos. Dilma Teiro Tziva V'yomer Rabbeinu Tam D'Oisei Posuk Korui Torah. That posuk is referred to elsewhere as Torah Kedomah Perek Shlishi de Sukkah, as is found in the third parak of Sukkah, Katan Hayodea Ledaber Oviv Melamdoi Torah, that at what age do you start teaching a child Torah? As soon as he learns to speak. My Torah, so what do you teach a kid as soon as he learns to speak? You teach him the following, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. So the Gemara refers to as Melamdoi Torah, and this is what you're teaching him, so this is called Torah. So if someone wrote 400 Sifrei Torah in his lifetime, maybe he wrote 400 times this pasuk. Continuing in the Gemara with this sub-bracketed section, it lasts several lines. As you can see, there's a dotted vertical line on the right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating the length of this sub-bracketed section. On the outside of your margin, we've noted an explanation. Besoch ha-sograim, we've written. Those are these angular sograim, these angular brackets. Muva oid dugma shel mispar mufraz. There is brought another example of some amazing number. In this case, shel netiois krumim vehezber, planting vineyards, and an explanation for that. So in the Gemara itself, Amar le Rava le Rabbi Zera, Nota Rabbi Yanai Arba Mea Karmi. Rava told Rabbi Zera that Rabbi Yanai planted 400 vineyards. One thinks about vineyards, he might think about famous French wine production areas with vineyards covering many, many hundreds of acres. And you have a great rabbi that would have planted 400 of those. You're wondering, when did he have time to become a great rabbi? So Rabbi Zera said back, Omar Lei, Dilmo, Shtayim Keneged Shtayim V'Achas Yoytze Zonov. Maybe he planted five vines in a, we'll call it in a square fashion, with one, the fifth one, coming from behind. There's an illustration of this that you'll find in the Pirush Chai 2:25. That formation that we just described, the four in a square, and fifth one coming from behind, that is halachically called a vineyard, with all kinds of halachas, especially those relating to kilayim, that are affected by this. That is as opposed to a singular vine or two vines that would not have the same halachas. Five in this form, specifically in this form, is namely shtayim keneged shtayim, achas yotzei zonav, that's called a kerem. As we said in our introductory remarks to this section, Meisve, we're now going to have a long question concerning the issue of dimensions. And just to review the main point, according to the calculations we made above, if you have a 6 height Sefer Torah, that must also be 6 tfochim in circumference. The conclusion will be that there's a 2 tefach thickness to it. And that point is going to present a problem, but we're not going to see the problem immediately, only much later on in the Gemara. But as a result of the markings here, you should be attuned to the structure and when the main point eventually arises. So we'll start the Gemara here, Meisve. We can also use the illustrations provided in the Pirush Chai, illustration 226. We're going to be talking now at great length about the Oron of that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed. We'll take also a look at the side to the heading of this sugya, the nosei. We have written in there, Midoisov shel ha'oron utchulaso, the dimensions of the oron and its contents, the oron's contents. Ha'gemora makshe, kushya aruka, the Gemara is going to ask a long question, al ha'midois shenitnu l'sefer Torah li'el, midivrei Rabbi Meir, shemuvon bebraisa aruka. We're going to be asking on the dimensions of the Sefer Torah. We had mentioned earlier, based on Rabbi Meir's comment in the long Brisa, Shelefiv, that according to him, Hoya Mokim Shel Shnei Tvochim Bilvad, there was room for only two, a room of two Tvochim only, Shebohem Hoya Munach Sefer Torah. Ulefi HaChashboinus to the Eil, and according to the calculations we made above, Yotze the Rochav HaSefer Torah, Yoyser Mishnei Tvochim, that the thickness of the Sefer Torah will actually be a little bit more than the two tfachim. And why we just said a little bit more, which we had not mentioned earlier, that we'll see in the flow of the Gemara. Meisve, in the Gemara, Oron she'oso Moshe, amosayim vochetzi orkoi, 2.5 amos of length, v'amo vochetzi rochboi, 1.5 amos of width, the height of the Oron. That particular dimension is not going to figure too prominently in the calculations that we'll be making. We said that the Oron's dimensions were in terms of amos. How many tfochim are in an amo? As far as that point is concerned, there's a machlokes tanoim. We've highlighted the two shitas in our Shas Ozer pre-marked edition by a double underline. Notice here it says Ba'amo Bas Shisha Tfachim. That's going to be the first one, Rabbi Meir's opinion. And later on, you see another double underline, Ba'amo Bas Chamisha Tfachim. There's a machlokas about how many tfachim are in one amo when dealing with the construction of vessels. And we've indicated this marking on the side under the heading of the Mivneh. Let's continue in the Gemara itself. So we just said that the dimensions of the Oron presented in terms of amos, the amma itself, though, will be of a six tefach nature. If you say that, it's noteworthy that the length of the Oron would therefore be 15 tefachim, because 2.5 times 6 is 15, and the width of the Oron would be 9 tefachim. And that, as a result of it being 1.5 times 6, 9 tefachim. Those two numbers are worth remembering. V'haluchos, each one of the two tablets, there were two tablets that formed the Ten Commandments. So the luchos, each one of them, orkon shisha, v'rochbon shisha, length 6 tefachim, width 6 tefachim, v'ovyon shlosha, and a thickness of 3 tefachim, munochos keneged orkoi shel oron. As you can see in the diagrams, the two tablets were placed in the length of the oron. The Gemara, the Braisa, continues with its calculations. Kama luchos oichlos ba'oron. How much of the length of the oron do the luchos use up? Shneim osor tfachim. That's 12 tfachim, or 2 amos, if you will. We said the length was 2.5. Well, 2 of the 2.5 are used up by the luchos. Nishtai rusham shloisha tfachim. There remains 3 tefachim, being that's that half an amo. Tsei mehen tefach, you can subtract from the 3 tefachim 1 tefach, chetzioi lekoisel zeh, vechetzioi lekoisel zeh, half a tefach for each wall, thickness of wall of Aron. And you see a prominent marking over here, this slashed, broken line, because this is going to be the main point. Nishtairu shom shnei tefachim, shebohen sefer Torah munach. There remains available, as far as contents of space in the length of the Aron, 2 tefachim, in which would be placed the Sefer Torah. So at this point, we're saying there's 2 tefachim available for the Sefer Torah. According to our calculations before, the thickness of the Sefer Torah, whose height was 6 tefachim, whose circumference is 6 tefachim, the thickness of the Sefer Torah is going to be slightly more than 2 tefachim. I say slightly more because we have to remember the Sefer Torah, standard Sefer Torah, at least was rolled to the middle. So there's a little bit of extra amount that you have to factor in because of the fact it wasn't a solid, singular scroll, but rather two scrolls rolled to the middle. How do you know there was a Sefer Torah in the Oron? Shenemar, ein ba'oroin rak, shnei luchos ha'avonim asher hiniach shom Moshe. That's the pasuk from Sefer Melachim. My ein ba'oroin rak. What is the meaning of that particular phrase? In that phrase you see two limiting words. See, ein and rak. Miut achar miut. There's a form of drasha called two limitations, one following the other. When you have two limitations, one following the other, we have the rule as follows. Vein miut achar miut ela l'rabbi sefer Torah shemunach be'oron. When the pasuk said there is not in the Oron only the two luchos, we're really saying there's more than just the two luchos. Namely, there's also a sefer Torah. As the Braisa goes on, Pirnasta Oron La'orka. We accounted for the length of the Oron and what it contains. Tse upirnes Oron La'rochbo. Let's talk about the width of the Oron. Kama luchos oichlois pa'oron. How much of the width do the luchos take up? Answer, shisha tfachim. 6 tfachim. Bearing in mind that the width of the Oron was 9 tfachim. Nishtairu sham shloisha tvachim. There's a balance of three. Tzei mehen tefach. Subtract from the three one tefach. Chetzio lekoisel zev, chetzio lekoisel zev, as we said above. Half tefach for each wall. Nishtairu sham shnei tvachim. There remains two tvachim of space. What are we going to be doing with these two tvachim of space? So the Sefer Torah, whose length was placed in this section of the Oron, you'll have a tefach on either side of the six tefach long Sefer Torah. You'll have one tefach on it above it and one tefach below it of space. Shelo yehe Sefer Torah nichnas v'yotze kishu dochuk. Divrei Rebbe Meir, so that the Sefer Torah can be lifted out and placed in without being under, being stuffed in, or being taken out easily. It's an interesting point here that the Brisa makes reference to taking the Sefer Torah out and putting it in. We're talking about the Oro, the Sefer Torah that was in the Holy Ark. We haven't heard often about opening up the Holy Ark and taking things out, putting things in. The issue that we just raised is addressed by the Tosfos in the middle of the Omid. Shlo yehei Sefer Torah yotzei v'nichnas kishu dochuk. Tosfos says, v'im tomar, v'alo lo hoyu motzien oso min oron. They never took the Sefer Torah out of the oron. To osur likones bebeis kodesh hakadoshim. It was forbidden entrance to that Holy of Holies. Uviyoma Kippurim, which was the one day that there was entrance to the Holy of Holies, lo ashkechon beseder yom shayomotzi. We don't find in the practice, in the order of the Yom Kippur service, that there was a Sefer Torah taken out. Yesh lomar. So Tosfos provides an answer. The letzurich, that for a specific purpose, if need be, kedei letakein, shori likones beveis kodesh hakadoshim. If there was a need for repairs, so even if it wasn't Yom Kippur, if there's a specific reason to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, one could go in, kinamrin be'eruvin, as it says there in that Masech, the end of Masech's Eruvin. V'hochinam yecholim likone shom kedei letakein sefer Torah, kedei shelo yisapesh, yiskalkel. They could go in there to fix the sefer Torah, to make sure it doesn't develop mold and get ruined. V'gam, another possibility, to explain this Gemara, Mishachorav Mishkan Shilo at Shebona Shlomo Beis HaMikdash. There was a point in history at which the Mishkan of Shilo had been destroyed after having stood for 369 years, and until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Hoyu Yecholim Lo Tzio Min Ha'oron U'La'ayin Bo. Because at that point there was no structure called Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim in which the Oron was standing. So that too would be a possibility to explain the opening of the Orav. At this point, we see another long brackets, and we had mentioned earlier in our introductory remarks, the reason for these long brackets is that this shita is not germane to our question. Our question being one of dimensions. And on the side, there's an asterisk, and we can read the note there, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda hukfu b'sograyim, his comments are in these brackets. The Haroyis de Kushyas HaGemora Bo Midivrei Rabbi Meir, to show that the main question of the Gemara is coming from Rabbi Meir's comment. Behem Sheikh BeAmud Beis HaGemora Tityaches LeDvarav Shrabbi Yehuda. On Amud Beis, the Gemara will refocus on Rabbi Yehuda. With all of that introductory commentary having been made, we'll continue reading straight through in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Ba'amo bas chamisha tvachim. The calculations of the Oron, having been given by the Torah in terms of amos, you should understand the amo is five tvachim. As a result of that, it's very important to note that the length of the Oron, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would have been 12 and a half tvachim, namely 2.5 times 5. And the width of the Oron would be 7.5 tvachim. How do we get to 7.5? It's 1.5 times 5. 7.5 tvachim. Continuing in the Gemara. Valuchois, orkon shisha, verochbon shisha. They remain a constant. This is a tefach dimension. So they are 6 by 6, each one. The Avyon Shlosha. Munachos ba'orko shoron. They're placed in the length of the oron. Kamo luchos oichlois ba'oron. How much do they take up in the length of the oron? We have a little aleph you can see noted here. And that's because we're going to be dealing at this point with the length. And there's a little beis and a diamond a few lines later. At that point, we'll be dealing with the width. So as far as this question is concerned, how much of the length do they take up? Shneim osor tfochim. You can see that illustrated in diagram 230. They take up 12 tfochim of the available 12 and a half tfochim. Nishtayer shom chatzi tefach. Etzba lekoisel zeh, vi etzba lekoisel zeh. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the thickness of the wall is one etzba. Pirnasta aron l'orko. We've accounted for the length of the aron and its contents. Tsei upirnes aron l'rochbo. Let's figure the contents of the aron as far as the width is concerned. Kama luchos ochlos ba'aron. How much do they take up in terms of its width? Shisha tfochim. Now, how wide was the aron according to Abuda? It was 7.5 tfochim. 6 tfochim taken up now by the luchos. Nishtayer shom tefach u'mechza. Tsei mehem chatzi tefach. There remains a tefach and mechza, 1.5 tefachim. Subtract from that 1/2 tefach. Etzba lekoisel zeh, the etzba lekoisel zeh. As we said, in terms of the length, the same thing in terms of the width. The width, the thickness of the walls of the aron, 1/2 tefach total. Nishtayer shom tefach. There remains, in terms of the width of the aron, a space of 1 tefach. What was used, does Rabbi Yehuda use that 1 tefach of space? Sheboi amudim oimdim. There are poles, silver poles, that were placed in the aron as well. Shenemar, apirion osa lo amelech shlomo me'atzei alavonon amudov osa kesef refidosoi zohov merkovoi argomon v'chulei. That pasuk is used as a reference to these poles. The Tosfos elaborates on the issue of the poles and specifically why they were made of silver and not gold. The last Tosfos mentions that the poles were a simon concerning the standing of Klal Yisrael. My understanding is, just as a pole is something that stands, so too Klal Yisrael stands. That's the Lashon Tosfos uses is the simon laha'amodas Yisrael hayah. And in addition to that, Tosfos elaborates, as we mentioned, as far as the material is concerned, silver and not gold. Why not gold? Because gold reminds us of the Egil HaZohav. And there's a concept known, Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor, that which was of a prosecuting nature does not turn into something of a defensive nature. And the Tosfos explains that these poles had a type of kapora element associated with them, an atoning element, for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, that was represented by these poles. Hence, it would be inappropriate to have them made of gold, which has that prosecuting, castigating nature. Continuing in the Gemara, the argoz sheshigru plishtim doron lelekei Yisrael munach mitzido. Historically, as is reported in the Tanakh, there was a battle between Klal Yisrael and the plishtim, during which time the plishtim had captured the Oron HaKodesh, and as a result of a punishment, they eventually returned the Oron, and they returned it in a cart, and that cart is referred to over here in the Brisa. So that cart had very, very special significance in that it was positioned next to the Oron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shenemar v'eskli azov asher hashevoisem loy osham tosimu bo argoz mitzidoi v'shilachtem oisoi v'olach. Okay, so we have in the Kodesh HaKadoshim this argoz, this container. V'olov sefer Torah munach. We have not underlined this because we'll find this to be a significant point when we get to Amud Beis in the discussion of Yehuda. We'll want to come back to this. And also, it's in contrast with Rabbi Meir's approach, who had the Sefer Torah inside the Aron. Rabbi Yehuda has it next to the Aron. Shenemar, Lokuach es Sefer HaTorah hazeh, v'samtem oisoi mitzad oroin bris Hashem. And we infer from here, from this pasuk in Dvarim, it said mitzad haya munach v'lo b'socho. That's Rabbi Yehuda's emphasis. Umo ani mekayim ein b'oron rak. Well, what about the pasuk that Rabbi Meir cited for his purposes, that the double limitation indicated that in addition to the luchos there was the Sefer Torah? He says no. That inclusionary expression of ein b'oron rak is l'rabois shivrei luchos shemunachim b'oron, to include the first tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu had smashed. The pieces were gathered and placed in the Oron. That's the end of the Tanaic sources. You can see the frame closes here at the top of Yud Dalet Omud Beis in Bava Basra. And you can see also that the brackets close, because this was the end of Rabbi Yehuda's commentary. Going back to the main point, the issue of dimensions. The Gemara says, "Ve'i salka daitoch sefer Torah hekefoi vav tfachim." If you think, like we had said, that the circumference of a gvil-produced sefer Torah was going to be six tfachim, michti. Let's analyze. We have a singular quotation marks, and that tells us to read the whole thing as a phrase. And you'll see it. The Gemara reports here a formula. Kol sheyesh behekefoi shloisha tfachim yesh boi roichav tefach. Anything that has a circumference of three tfachim will have a diameter, a width of one tefach. That's the 1-to-3 ratio we mentioned earlier. In addition to that, vekevon delam tziyoso niglal, since the Sefer Torah is rolled toward the middle, nofish lei mitrei tifcha, revocha de beni beni. Since it was rolled to the middle, there's a little bit more. Nafish means a little extra than the two tfachim, which would account for the absolute thickness or width of the Sefer Torah. This extra was because of the space, or the additional space that has to be accounted for, from the fact that it's rolled toward the middle. So how much space did we assign to the Sefer Torah according to Rabbi Meir? So that you can see in the Brisa on Amud Aleph, where we had that slashed underline, that broken underline in the middle of the source. It said there were two tefachim available for the Sefer Torah. Ah, but now we're saying that the Sefer Torah has a width of 2+. So the Gemara raises the obvious point. Betray pushchi hechi yosef. Pushchi or tfachim. That in the space of two tfachim, how could something that is 2+ tfachim sit? Omar Rav Acha bar Yankif. Sefer Azora, the Sefer of the Beis HaMikdash, l'tchilosoi hu niglal. It was not a double-poled, double Eitz Chaim scroll. It was a singular pole, singular Eitz Chaim scroll. So I don't have to account for that little extra space that we said would result if you had a double pole. The Gemara asks, that's fine and good as far as the structure of the Sefer Torah, but still a geometrical problem. V'akati trei bitrei hechi yosef. If you have a space of two, something that is a width of two won't fit into the space of two. Your entire space is two tfachim. You need a minute amount less of substance in order to fit into a space of two. Omarav Ashi dekorech be purta vekarche li'el. Illustration 239 demonstrates what the Gemara just said. He rolls, the Sefer Torah is rolled on a singular pole. However, when you get to the end of the rolling, or the beginning of the scroll, if you will, you leave a little bit of parchment length, and leave that length not as part of the main roll, rather roll it up separately and position that
rolled section of additional parchment length on top of the main roll. So I thereby reduced the width of the main scroll by extending this extra piece of extra parchment from the beginning of this scroll and rolling it separately as is illustrated and putting that on top so that the thickness issue is solved. The thickness of the actual scroll is a bit less than 2 tefachim. We have a period here indicating full stop. We had presented the question, the issue of the space, the issue of the dimensions, and we've answered it. Going on in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Mikami Delesi Argos. We have an arrow pointing to Omid Aleph. That means in the Shas Ozer pre-Mark Gemara edition that many of us are using, that tells us look for a parallel arrow on Omid Aleph at the same side of the page of Gemara, the same side of the column of Gemara. In this case, you're going to have to scan quite a bit of Omid Aleph in order to find the parallel arrow. Where do you see it? Ooh, way toward the bottom. In fact, 2 lines from the bottom of Omid Aleph. What did the Gemara mention there? That the Sefer Torah, according to Rebuta, was placed on the container that the Plishtim had returned. Now, the Plishtim were several hundred years into the Klal Yisrael history after they had already constructed a Mishkan and there was a Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Gemara asks, the idea of the Sefer Torah being placed on the Argoz that the Plishtim sent, that's fine and good from that point in history onwards. The Gemara that we're looking at now on Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara asks Rabbi Yehuda, Mekami Delesi Argoz, according to Rabbi Yehuda, before the Argoz arrived, Sefer Torah Hechi Havi Yosef, where did it sit? Answer, Dapo Havi Nofik Minei, there was a shelf that extended from the Oron, the Yosef Iluha Sefer Torah, and on that shelf there sat the Sefer Torah. Period. Now we turn to Rabbi Meir. And once again, we're going to take full advantage of the markings found in the Shas Ozer edition. Here you have an asterisk, also indicating next to it, Omid Aleph. That means you must find a parallel asterisk on Omid Aleph and connect the 2 points together. So where do you find that? Once again, you must scan the whole page in order to find an asterisk with an Omid Beis reference next to it. If there's an asterisk on 2 different Amudim, or an arrow on different Amudim that are attempting to connect up particular points, there also has to be an indication of where that parallel marking is found. In this case, we're looking at the bottom of the Amud. We saw there a reference to Ein Ba'aron Rak. How did Rabbi Yehuda use it there? He used Ein Ba'aron Rak to include the Luchos, as being the Shivrei Luchos, being placed in the Oron. We never said anything about Rabbi Meir's opinion regarding the Shivrei Luchos. So here the Gemara asks, Rabbi Meir, Hai Mitzad Oron Mai Ovid Lei? The point I had just mentioned, we'll have to get to that a little bit later. I must correct what I just said. On Omid Aleph, we saw Rabbi Yehuda mentioning the Mitzad Ha'oron as being the place that the Sefer Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was placed, Mitzad Ha'oron, not in the Oron, and that was based on a Pasuk. What does Rabbi Meir learn from that Pasuk? Because Rabbi Meir had the Sefer Torah placed inside, not Mitzad. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Meir, Hai Mitzad Oron Mai Ovid Lei? Answer, Hahu Miboya Lei? He requires it for the Misnach Lei Mitzad Velo Misnach Beini Luchi Uli Oilom Begavei Min Hatzad. That the Sefer Torah was placed, albeit inside the Oron, however, it was placed to the side of the Luchos. That's what the expression meant, the Misnach Lei Mitzad. The Sefer Torah was placed Mitzad, these to the side of the Luchos, and not placed between the Luchos. The Gemara continues, V'Rabbi Meir Amudim Hechi Avu Kaimi? We saw Rabbi Yehuda address the issue of the poles, but according to Rabbi Meir, he said nothing about that. So where were the poles located? Let us take a look at the Rashi, a few lines up from this point, across in the Rashi. Hecho Avu Avi Kaimi, Kevon de Matzrich Tefach Mikan Vetefach Mikan, Berochav Ha'oron Shiloye Sefer Torah Yotze V'Nichnas Bedochak. He required those extra tefachim in the width of the Oron, so as to have the Sefer Torah be enter and exit with ease. Ho'amudim Hecho Manchi, Halo Yimatu Es Hachalol. If you place the amudim in that space, you'll be minimizing the available space that he so desired for the sake of removing the Sefer Torah. Gemara answers, where were the amudim? Mi baroi, outside. They weren't in the Oron. Rabbi Meir, Shivrei Luchos Demunochem Boron Minole. Rabbi Meir, where does he learn that the Shivrei Luchos were in the Oron? Rabbi Yehuda had learned that from Ein Ba'oron Rak. That's for the Luchos. But Rabbi Meir had used that expression for the Sefer Torah. So where does he learn the Luchos? Number one, Nafko Le Mida Rav Huna. Diyoma Rav Huna, Mai Dichtiv Asher Nikro Shem Shem Hashem Tzvokos Yoyshev Hakruvim Olav. That's the posuk, the double expression, Shem Shem Hashem Tzvokos Melamed Sheluchos V'Shivrei Luchos Munochim Ba'oron. This posuk teaches Rabbi Meir, according to Rav Huna, that the Shivrei Luchos were inside the Oron. V'idach, we're going to see a back and forth structure here, and that we're indicating with the squiggle underline, so you realize a new speaker appears each time. V'idach, in this case, Rabbi Yehuda, what does he do with this posuk of Asher Nikra, Shem, etc.? Hahu miboy alei l'chede Rabbi Yochanan. He needs it for Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi. Melameid shehashem v'chol kinuyov munochim ba'oron. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has numerous different ways of referring to him. There's a Shem HaMoforosh, and then there are other names that accompany or alternative expressions that refer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're called Kinuyim, that they were written and placed in the Oron. V'idoch nami miboya leiloch. He doesn't, Rabbi Meir, need that posik for the issue of the names and the Kinuyim of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk had said, shame, shame, Hashem Tzvokos, etc. And if that be the case, so, well, the Gemara says, in Hochinami, yes, he needs the Pasuk Asher Nikro, shame, shame, for the names of Hashem. Elo, Shivrei, Luchos, Dumunoche, Baron, Menole. So how will he know the positioning of the Shivrei Luchos in the Oron? That was originally what Rabbi Meir had supposedly used the Pasuk for, but we see it's used up for the issue of the names. Therefore, we come to a second suggestion. That's why we have a number two. Nafgale mi detoni Rav Yosef. Detoni Rav Yosef, he has the following source. He teaches, Asher shibarta v'sam tom. The posuk says that the luchos were broken and placed. Melameid shaluchos v'shivrei luchos munochin ba'oron. From here, one can learn that the shivrei luchos were also placed inside the oron. The idoch, Rebbe Yehuda, that had his posuk already. Hahu miboyale, he will use Asher Shibarta v'samtom for the following, L'chadereish Lokish. The Omereish Lokish, Asher Shibarta, Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, Yasher Kochacho. The word Asher can also refer to Osher with an Aleph, meaning strength. So, strength be unto you, sheshibarta. That's asher shibarta. Yishar koch, that yishar kochach, sheshibarta. Strength be upon you for your having broken the luchos. This is an indication that Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though he never instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to smash the luchos, it was a conclusion that Moshe Rabbeinu arrived upon on his own reasoning. The Kodesh Baruch Hu nevertheless agreed with it. And that's what you see here. On the outside of the Gemara margin, we have the Nosei and Mivneh introductory comment. We see diamonds featured, and as you scan down the page, your eye should pick up a couple of these. They refer to, as we noted, Sidron Shel, the order of Hanavim Haksuvim. We'll see, in addition to that, a marking a house form and a double underline. So those are the house surrounds the word michti, indicating a question to let's look into something. And the double underline, you'll notice, is underlining prophets that appear to be earlier than others. We've noted on the side Hoshea Kodim, Yeshaya Kodim, Mibchinas Seder Hadoros, according to the historical order of events, Hoyolonu Lahakdim Nevi'im Misuyomim. Certain prophets should have been positioned earlier in the Tanakh than the Gemara says. V'loma Sudru Al HaSeder HaNochachi. So why are they positioned in the order that the Gemara presents in a Braisa that you'll see momentarily? Okay, so looking in the Gemara, we have our first source dealing with order, Sidron Shel Nevi'im. On the side of the Gemara, there's a one in a diamond, indicating that you should be looking for a number two, and you'll see that a bit later where the next diamond appears. Tana Rabbanan, Sidron Shel Nevi'im, the order of the prophets, in terms of setting up a scroll with prophets and who comes first, second, third, etc. We also noted on previous occasion there are 8 prophets that have their works recorded for history. Not to think for a second that there were only 8 prophets in Jerusalem, there were many, many more. In fact, within this order, within this set itself, there was a Treasure, the book of the 12 prophets, but they're considered one as far as books are concerned. So here we go with the list. 1. Yehoshua, 2. Veshoiftim, 3. Shmuel, 4. Melochim, 5. Yirmiyah, 6. Yehezkel, 7. Yeshaya, 8. Mishneimosar. Just want to note that in our printed Tanakh versions, you're not going to find necessarily this order. But that's not going to be a point of discussion for us. We're going to be focusing on this order. The Gemara continues, raises a question. You can see there's a long question marking at the side. It's a 4-line question, as is indicated by the kuf in a circle and a dashed vertical line. That shows the length of a question, as well as in other circumstances. A long marking could be a long answer, could be a long point. That's the formula that we use in the Shas Ozer pre-marked edition. Michti, Hoshea Kodim. Hoshea is, relatively speaking, early. Dichtiv, Tchilas Devar Hashem b'Hoshea. Literally translated, the first one Hashem spoke to was Hoshea. The Gemara raises upon that point of amazement. V'chi im Hoshea diber tchila. What, the Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke first to him? V'alo mi Moshe v'yad Hoshea kama nevi'im hoyu. Rather, V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, Shehoya Tchila L'arbo Nevi'im, Shenisnab'u Ba'oysoi HaPerek. He was the first of 4 Nevi'im that said prophecy at the same point in time. V'elu Hein, 1. Hoshea, 2. Yeshaya, 3. Amos, 4. Umicha. So you can see that Hoshea came before even Yeshaya. V'liktime L'Hoshea Bereisha, let Hoshea be put in separately earlier than he is. The Gemara answers, Kevon Dichtiv Nivuose Gabi Chagai Zecharyo Umalochi, since his prophecy is written together with the prophecies of Chagai Zecharyo Malachi, the Chagai Zechariah Malachi Soif Nevi'im Havu, they were at the very end of the prophetic period, the beginning of the Second Temple. Choshiv Lei Badayos, he is considered with them. So he's going to be part of the Sefer Treosor, in which you find the the Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Question, V'lichtevei l'chudei v'lichtemei. So, still, why not write Hosea as a separate work and have him appear earlier? He would be earlier than Yeshaya, and if he's earlier than Yeshaya, certainly earlier than Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel that were much later. So the Gemara answers, Aidi de Zutar Mirchas. Since the works of Hosea are small in quantity, not to chas v'sholem think something smallness in quality, but small in quantity, there isn't too much written material from Hosea. If you would have it as a separate work, Mirchas, it might get lost. Small things tend to get absorbed and you don't find them. Michti, more raises a new question considering historical order. Michti, Yeshaya kodim Yirmiyahu v'Yechezkel. Yeshaya was earlier than these prophets. Likdimei l'Yeshaya bereishan, and let him be positioned earlier and in our source that we had above with the order, we found Yeshaya in the number 7 position where Yirmiyahu was 5 and Yechezkel 6. Well, shouldn't Yeshaya have been earlier? Answer, Kivan de Melachim Soifei Churbana. Since the book of Kings, the end of which is a description of destruction, the Yirmiyah Kulei Churbana, the prophecies of Yirmiyah were prophecies of destruction, the Yechezkel Reishei Churbana Vesefei Nechamta, and the book of Yechezkel, it begins with prophecies of destruction, however it ends with prophecies of comfort, V'Yeshaya kulei nechamta. The book of Yeshaya is complete comfort. Samchinon churbana lechurbana v'nechamta lechamta. We place like things next to each other. Sitron shoksuvin. Rus. Well, we should take special note of Rus being at the beginning. We'll come back to that later. V'sefer Tehillim. The Eov, we've also noted Eov for our agenda later. U Mishlei, Koheles, Shir HaShirim, V'Kinois, Daniel, U Megillas Esther, Ezra, V'Divrei HaYomim. That's the order as provided by this source. Mora asks, Ulamanda Omar, Eov Bimei Moshe Hoya. There's a major controversy as to Eov, when and if he lived. There is one of the opinions that he was during the time of Moshe. If that be the case, Likdimei l'Eov Bereisha, he should have been earlier than all these other works, because all these other works are after the time of Moshe. Gemara answers why we don't have Eov at the beginning. Aschulei bepuranusa lo maschulinan. We don't like to begin things with retribution and punishment. The book of Eov, as many may know, has descriptions of great trials and tribulations that the man suffered. We don't want to begin a piece of work with that. Question. Rus nami puranus hi. The book of Rus also contains retribution and punishment. We find that her husband died, her father-in-law died, and they were impoverished. More answers. Puranus de Islay Achris. It was an event that eventually led to great glory at the end. From Rus came forth David HaMelech. Rashi points out across from here, the Islay Achris Soifa Puranus Nefachle Achris Vitikva. The period of punishment, of tribulation, turned into one of great hope. David having come forth, the Shiotsa David Misham, David having come forth from there, as Rashi says. Continuing in the Gemara. Gemara itself explains the idea that there was an Achris, an eventual, an end, a good end. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lomo Nikro Shma Rus. Why does she have that name? Sheyotza Mimeno David Sherivehu LaKodesh Boruch Hu B'Shiros V'Tushbochos. The word Rivehu, you notice there's a Reish, a Vav in that word. That's associated with Rus, also with the same root to it. The pun not fully intended, but root having the same root as Sherivehu. And that means that Dovid HaMelech, with his numerous praises, say for Tehillim, and his whole association, attachment to Kodesh Baruch Hu, is said to have satisfied, Rivehu satisfied the Kodesh Baruch Hu with his Shiros Nishbachos, and he had come from Rus, period. The Gemara now starts a new discussion, and that discussion, Emir Tzashem, will take place in our next shiur. At this point, we conclude the shiur for today.